This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you, no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, maybe it's 5,000 people in the middle of Iowa, as we're going to hear today, there are heroes around you. There are men and women who have done remarkable things for the sake of our freedom. Each week, we visit with veterans of World War II, hoping to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so they're not forgotten. And we sure are educated along the way. I think we're in for a lot of education today. You notice I said not just men, but women too. It's not too often we get to hear from a female veteran of World War II, but that's the case today with Helen Kearney, 91 years old, of Salinas, California, but originally from Clarinda, Iowa. Where's Clarinda in that beautiful corn-covered state of Iowa?
It's down in the southwest corner, just 13 miles north of the Missouri border.
And you are one of four girls in your family, no brothers, just the four sisters. But your father had quite a story when it comes to the military. Do you remember when you first found out that he had served in World War I?
Well, yes. Beginning as young children, we used to go around and on Memorial Day and plant the flags on the graves. That was his job at the American Legion, so we always knew about his service.
Did you have any idea what he did over there or the kinds of things that he experienced?
Not really. He wouldn't talk about it. In high school, I did ask him, and at first he said that hardtack was no good. You know, the food was pretty bad. But and then finally, when I pressed him, he said, "War is hell," and that's all he would say.
And especially for him, he was of German descent, and he was fighting for the U.S. against the Germans in those trenches of Europe?
Yes, he was.
And you still have some things that belong to him at that time. Why have you held on to his uniform and his helmet for all these years and his dog tags?
I loved him. He was the most wonderful man, just wonderful. And I just cared about anything he had or did.
I don't know that it would have occurred to you at that young of an age, but do you remember ever thinking, wow, he probably went through some pretty scary stuff in World War I, and if he didn't come home, I would have never been born. Has that thought ever crossed your mind?
Not really, no.
Sorry for putting it there. So what was life like growing up with three sisters out there in a town of 5,000 in Iowa?
What can I say with four females? My dad said it was such a treat when we got married to sit down with another man at the table.
Well, I have two daughters at home and no sons, so I know about half of what it must have been like, I suppose. But times were different back then, and times were different for women. I think the ambitions and expectations certainly were different. So as a young lady yourself going through high school, did you have plans or ideas of what your life was going to turn into?
No, I didn't have a clue. And I didn't want to go into business or teaching. That's about all I did know.
And I guess if I'm doing the math right, what would you have been just out of high school when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor?
Yes, I entered nurses training in September of 41, the same year that Pearl Harbor.
What made you think nursing was a good idea?
Well, I really didn't think it was all that good of an idea. My mother wanted one of her girls to be a nurse, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. Although, as I look back, I realize that I was really suited for it. But if it had not been for her, I wouldn't have ended up there, I'm sure. I was just registered to go to the junior college for another year or two.
But you ended up going to Omaha for the nursing program at the University of Nebraska?
Yes, yes.
So is that where you were when you heard the news of Pearl Harbor?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Take me there, because I've been to Omaha. It's a great city, lots of history, and you can see kind of the different periods of history reflected in that city and the way it's kind of broken up. What was Omaha like in the wake of that news? Did you sense a different atmosphere? Did you feel something different when you found out America had been attacked?
Not really. We were pretty isolated there on the campus. We had no radios, no TVs, no newspapers at the dorm. And we just, usually, if you had the money to go to a movie on Saturdays, you'd see the newsreel. But other than that, we were pretty isolated from the war. We didn't have to deal with food stamps and the things that most people did have to deal with because that was furnished in the hospital there.
Was it a big deal to you when you heard that America had been attacked?
Not as much as it would today. I just wasn't attuned to foreign things too much in those days. We were pretty isolationist, you know, in those days. And of course, we were all upset, but nothing to the degree that people get worked up today.
And I'm sure you had no inkling that you might end up as part of this war at some point.
Oh, no, it never occurred to me.
And I'm sure you never knew that without that war and a few other twists of fate that you wouldn't have met your husband.
That's true. I wasn't looking for a husband, but I found one anyway.
Well, and at the time, as you talk about being there in Omaha in nursing school, and I'm sure you ladies were familiar with all the young men around Omaha, and that probably turned into slim pickings pretty quick, didn't it?
Well, we were just, all we were around were medical students. There weren't any really other, we didn't have any life outside of our dorm and the campus. And that's all that were there, were the medical students.
How was it that you ended up becoming an Army nurse?
I can't really remember, if you want to know the truth. It never occurred to me not to be one. I guess I wanted to get out in the world and be a part of it.
So you graduated and you decided to enlist right after that?
Yes, I went in right away. And I was only in about a year and a half. I just got in near the tail end of the war.
Maybe it's hard to think back this far, but what did you expect to get out of that when you volunteered to go overseas? And I'm sure you anticipated treating some guys who'd been wounded in the war. What do you remember thinking it was going to be like?
I don't know that I really thought much about it. I just went in, and nursing is nursing no matter where you are. You still fulfill the same duties of following the doctor's orders and just in a little different format is all. So it wasn't that much different, actually. And, of course, I didn't really see the horrible things that some of the other nurses did because we didn't deal with the casualties. They had already been handled, the Iwo Jima ones, and flown home. And then the war ended, so we didn't have to deal with that. But we were there to do what we could, of course. And actually, the bay was full of warships. And up in Iwo Jima, my husband flew up there once, and he said he'd never seen so many ships in his life. They were all amassing for the invasion of Japan.
Well, people say, well, what is she talking about? What bay? That's Saipan. We're going to get to that. But you had a few stops stateside. You trained in Colorado and California and New Jersey, and then you hopped on a hospital ship and took it through the Panama Canal. I guess that's probably quite a cruise for a young lady, huh?
Well, yes, it went on for 40 days.
And how many women were on that ship? Was it predominantly men?
Oh, no, just 300. There were two units, replacement units, 300 nurses. I don't know where the others went. I think there were less than 100 on Saipan, and they also went to Tinian and Guam, to the general hospitals there.
So this hospital ship was majority women on board. You guys had a girls' night out kind of trip, I guess, huh?
Well, we stayed in the bunks that they were going to bring the patients back in. No, we got along fine. Of course, we were all used to being in dorms together, and everything was very pleasant.
You know, most of the veterans I talk to obviously are men, and they all share stories about, you know, the welcome to the Army moment, or, you know, in the Marine Corps, what boot camp was like and how tough it was. Was there anything in your training that you felt was really challenging or that made you wonder, should I really have signed up for this?
Oh, no, never. I enjoyed every minute of it. No, we didn't have the hard training that the men did.
So 40 days all the way to Saipan. What did you see when you got there? How did that scene greet you?
To be honest with you, I don't remember too much except for the tropical foliage, palm trees and sandy beaches. It was beautiful there, really.
You were so young, and I get the sense that you were on a bit of an adventure. But did the gravity of the situation ever hit you? That what had happened there and at all these other islands in the Pacific?
Well, we didn't know that much about what the war was like because we only heard just briefly of Tarawa and Guadalcanal, but we didn't really realize how horrible it was. They didn't write as, you know, how bad it was at that time. And so it wasn't until later when you started reading about things that you got the idea of how tough it was. I don't know how those men did what they did.
And you would end up treating some guys who had been through quite a bit. You said most of your patients were able to walk, but you still got a sense of what they'd been through. And I understand in some cases, even though you were a nurse, they almost approached you like their psychologist, or at least a listening ear or a shoulder to cry on.
They felt, I think, that they could talk to us where they couldn't really talk to women that weren't in the military. And as nurses, being a nurse made a big difference there, that they could talk to you. And you tried to help them as best you could.
Can you give us an example of that, of something that someone might have shared with you?
Yes. Do you want to hear about the soldier that had killed two women? And when he landed, he parachuted into Germany. And two German women were coming at him, shooting at him. And he said, I had to kill them. And how can I go home and tell my mother and my sister that I killed two women? And I said, they were trying to kill you. You had no choice. You had to. And nobody can blame you for that. That's what you had to do. And then he did apparently go home and was able to. I don't know. I didn't hear from him again. But I think it did help him to be able to talk to someone about it before he went home. He was due to go home the next day.
And I think it's something maybe that culturally we understand maybe more significantly now because there's been so much attention paid to it. But at that time, not a lot of people talked about it. But you got a sense, I guess, early on that you were there to treat some physical wounds, but there are emotional wounds and scars that these guys carry too. I mean, did that hit you at the time?
Yes. Yes, I think any nurse knows that that's just part of the job, and that's what you're there for. I think people don't realize how grateful the men were that we were there, because if they needed help, we were there to take care of them. And especially the Marines, for some reason or other, if they find out that you're an Army nurse or have been one, they just go into ecstasy almost. They just are so thrilled that you're there and talking to them. And it meant a lot to them and to their families, I'm sure.
Well, give us a sense of the hospital where you were working and what kinds of things you did and what it was like for you as a young lady.
Well, actually, it was just pretty much like nursing here. See, since most of the injured people from the invasions had been shipped home, mostly they're just the usual things, broken bones, different things, just the usual. Appendicitis, and you know, it wasn't much different from here.
But you did see some things that you might not see every day here. Soldiers that had been shot, even shot in the face.
Yes, I did. I had this one patient in particular, and I was giving him a back rub, and none of the other men were nearby. And he told me that, and he had been shot through the face and was disfigured. And he told me he was afraid that his girlfriend back home would not want him anymore. And that was just heartbreaking. He was such a nice man. So I told him, well, at least you'll be able to find out now what kind of a person she is. And that seemed to help him, you know, that. So it's really hard to know what to say. But in that case, I think I'd said the right thing.
You had read about the war in newspapers and maybe seen a newsreel every once in a while. But to be there on Saipan, where there are still tanks and wreckage of planes, and clear that a war had been going on there, and then you see patients like that. Did it make the whole thing more real to you or more meaningful in your eyes?
Yes, of course it does. Fortunately, I didn't have to deal with the incoming wounded from an invasion, although, of course, that's what we were there for. But then the war ended. Thank God for President Truman dropping the bomb. Oh, those men were so happy when they found out they didn't have to go up there and fight. They were so happy.
Yeah, so you're there on Saipan, and I'm sure everyone in that area is expecting, well, there's going to be another invasion, and this is the big one.
Oh, they were preparing for it. There's no doubt about that. That's why they had all these hospitals built, and they were preparing for the invasion.
You've got an aerial photograph of the hospital you had there, and it covers a lot of acreage there, quite a few buildings. So folks may have been thinking, well, it's just there to treat the people who are, you know, left over from the forces that were there. But you're saying the whole point of the hospital being assembled there was in preparation for mass casualties from the invasion of Japan?
Oh, yes. That's what it was there for, to take care of the wounded, yes.
And so President Truman decided to drop the bomb, and shortly after Japan surrendered, and you said how excited the guys were What about you? Did you do a little celebrating when that news hit Saipan?
Oh, we are all happy. They are giving parties all over the place and dances. We had a little dance band at the Officers Club, and it was everyone was just so happy.
Well, it's time for our first break, but there's much more to come with World War II Army nurse Helen Kearney. She doesn't sound 91 years old, does she? We're going to go back to when she was 21 out there in the Pacific on Saipan in the Northern Mariana Islands. Maybe you didn't realize that Saipan is still American territory. Has been since July of 1944 when forces of the Army and the Marines wrapped up a 25-day battle that saw more than 3,400 Americans killed and more than 10,000 wounded. You've heard from some of those wounded on this program. Today, a little less than 50,000 people live on Saipan's 45 square miles. It is a commonwealth of the U.S., just like Puerto Rico is. When we come back, we're going to explore more of Helen Kearney's adventures on Saipan, including how she acquired that surname. Quite a story of how she met her husband there. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.
Till the end of time.
You know, one of the things I appreciate so much about the veterans we meet on Hometown Heroes is that they're real. A sincere and genuine spirit really makes an impression on me, and that's why I'm such a big fan of Educational Employees Credit Union. It was EECU that spearheaded the launch of Central Valley Honor Flight with an initial donation of close to $25,000, and the giving did not end there. More than 200,000 members know EECU represents smarter banking, but it's not just about being smart, it's about the heart. I've worked with the folks at EECU for years, and I've watched them put their money where their mouth is, supporting their credit union members right where they live in hometowns up and down Central California. From sponsoring first-class Educator of the Year ceremonies to taking the lead in sending World War II veterans on an unforgettable journey, my friends at EECU keep proving that you are at the heart of everything they do. Go to myeecu.org to see what EECU can do for you, or just walk into any branch. And while you're there, if you enjoy this show, tell them thanks for supporting Hometown Heroes.